Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I am pleased to greet Mayor Sean Morris of Cohoes, who will be my guest today. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm great, Cynthia.
Good. So the question I want to ask, and so many other people want to ask, is with everything hanging over your head right now, what made you decide to run for re-election?
Well, that's a simple answer. Let me just say this. You know, everybody has things hanging over their head. Life is not easy, and every day you get up and there's trials and tribulations, there's successes, there's sad moments, and that's called life. I'm running because we have a lot more work to do to make our city that all-America city that I promised that it would be. And we have achieved so many things in such a short time that I believe I have a lot more to offer, and I believe the citizens of Cohoes want to continue this renaissance, per se, because every day people come up to me and say, Sean, I can't believe we got this, and I can't believe you've done this, and I love this, and it's exciting. And you know what? You get addicted to doing good things for people. And so while I had to deal with some very personal and sad issues, a lot of people took advantage of those times. I didn't wake up one day and want my life to be turned upside down. I've been in this community for 50 years. I was a firefighter, a decorated firefighter. I saved people's lives. I delivered babies. And probably the most important thing I ever did for the community is deliver toys to the most neediest families for 26 years. So I've always been a man who loved this community. I've always given more than I've ever taken from this community. I've always been a good man that people respected. And my life changed in a split second, and it took me, you know, almost 2 years to get all of the things that were important to me back in order. And they are now back in order, and I go to work every day to do the best that I can, and that's the way I live my life. And I kind of just turn the page on the world that I don't need.
So when you first became mayor, and you looked around and you said that there was so much that needed to be done, what have you done over the past 3.5 years that people, not only in Cohoes, but in the Capital District, should be aware of?
Well, I think the people are aware of what I've done. Let me just tell you, for the first time in the history of our city, we were just named a top 5 city in the Times Union Best of the Capital Region. Our name has never even once been mentioned, and now we are named as one of the top 5 cities. That in itself is a incredible achievement when you consider I've only really been the mayor for 3 years. It takes a couple months to get acclimated, and the work's really only started 2.5 years ago. But let me start with this. For the first time in the city's history, and let me underscore that history, we've had 3 straight years of 0 tax increases. We've had 3 straight years of 0 fees increasing in our water and sewer funds. We've had 3 straight years of surplus budgets where we've been able to live and come under budget for 3 straight years. All while we've done that, we've had $75 million in development. We created a veterans park. We improved our Vanskite Pond Park. We put in millions of dollars of infrastructure repairs, new street signs. The music hall that was closed when I became mayor just got the number 1 Times Union designation for small music venues, from being closed to being number 1. If that's not exciting, I don't know what's exciting. We have a new $1 million park being built right in the middle of our downtown for our Rock the Block concert series. The Rock the Block concert series itself, which is quickly becoming the best one in the Capital Region. I mean, the list goes on and on. We're replacing our water towers. We spent money in our filtration plant. We bought new equipment for fire department, $1 million trucks coming at the end of this year, new vehicles for our police department. Every part of our city has been touched with some kind of improvement. So I think the people of Cohoes see that, they know that, they live that, there's more money in their pocket. For the first time since I can remember, all you have to do is go down on your own downtown in Ransom Street, and you can hit 4 or 5 restaurants, you can have drinks with your friends, you can just stay in your own community and really have a good time. And people say that to me every day. So I think people see it. I know people from Cohoes see it. And the cool part of this, Cynthia, is that, you know, a lot of the candidates always want to use some kind of snazzy way to make it sound like you're not doing your job. Cohoes has got a black cloud over its head and this, that, and the other thing. The Times Union Best of the Capital Region is voted on by, my understanding, just reading it a couple of days ago, over 25,000 people, not just from Cohoes, but all over the Capital Region, had a chance to view our city. And the only thing they see happening here is success. So I'm really proud of that. And I think the residents are proud of it. People want to come here and visit, come see our great music hall, visit our Rock the Block, and we're only going to get better. Every day we're going to be a little better than we were yesterday.
So I see a lot of back and forth on Facebook with candidates for mayor and candidates for common council. It seems as if the campaign is being waged on Facebook. Do you go door to door, and what's the reaction?
Well, absolutely, I go to door, and the reaction has been nothing but positive. You know, Facebook is the new way for people to debate. I hate it. I think it's we've lost touch with the human emotion. You write things, and people just kind of assume that you're either mad or you're saying something derogatory about somebody, or you just can't really use Facebook for campaigns. But you know what? We've called for 3 debates. I've asked every candidate to debate. They're out there putting out flyers and information that I want to debate because it's not accurate. It's not correct. It's the political promises and the misguided information that usually you can address in a debate. But I haven't had much success with trying to get debates. Everybody wants to just keep finding a reason not to do it. And so I'll continue to call for the debates. And we'll all be in the same room, and we'll all be able to, you know, to address the issues that are being raised. And I'm excited about that opportunity because I think everything that's being said about this campaign is really just political fluff. And I want to talk about the facts and show people what we've really done and explain how we've done it and explain what's coming in the future. And so Facebook is really, for me, something that I really don't like to use. I was off it for 2 years. Unfortunately, you have to have it for the campaign. And once my campaign is done, I'll be off it for the next 4 years as well, because I just don't like what's taking place in our country on Facebook. It just lets people say things that they would otherwise not say. People don't think before they respond. And I'm guilty of that. And sometimes you have these bickering back and forth, and you kind of look a bunch of fools, and I'm guilty of that as well. So, you know, I want to have actual debates, and we'll continue to try to get that to happen.
Republican Chris Davis is the city chairman of Cohoes. I'm disappointed, and I've told him that the Republicans have not fielded a candidate for mayor. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that, Cynthia? Let's be honest, right? You can't just fail the candidate. People got to want to run. And just because you're Republican, independent, conservative, you got to have somebody who wants to run for the right reasons, not to just do what the Republican Party in Cohoes is doing. I think Chris Davis is a great guy. I like Chris. He's a good part of our community. But just filling seats with people to fill seats, it's just ridiculous in the scope of why politics is so messed up in this country. I am running for this seat because of my love for this community. I love this community more than anybody could ever imagine. I'm sure there's people who love it equally, but nobody loves it more than I do. I've given my whole life to this community. I've given far more than I've ever taken from this community. I took a huge pay cut because, you know what? What it really mattered to me was, can I make life better for other people? If you don't have that passion, if that's not what your drive is, then get out of the business. If you're just doing it to say I'm the mayor or I'm a councilman or I'm this or I'm that, that's why the country screwed up. We need people to run because they have great ideas, because they are agents for change. They are thinkers. They want to do things for the community because it's the right thing to do. Politics is a lousy business. The politics of politics is a lousy business. The people who often run for office may not always be the people who just want to do the right thing, but they want to be the mayor. They want to be the council member. I never wanted to be any of those things. I was a firefighter. I loved being a firefighter more than anything in the world. But I knew that my time as a firefighter was coming to an end. I was getting older, and it's a job for the young people. And I knew that my passion to save people's lives was as strong as ever, but my ability to do it may not be what it once was. So I focused my attention on where I could bring that same passion, which was to rebuild my community, make this an all-America city once again, instill pride. That's why the first thing I did is I lit up our flag, I rebranded our city and named it Cohoes Proud, and it took off like a wildfire. It was so exciting to see people putting Cohoes Proud on their shirts, on their cars. They were putting them on the receipts in their restaurants. And you know what? For 2.5 years, life was incredible. Everything was going the way you wanted it to go. And then one day I woke up and life does what life often does. It punched me right in the mouth. And I had to then step back and try to rebuild a reputation that was destroyed because of a sad, sad situation. And I have slowly fought every day for what's most important to me, which is my family. I'd give up this job tomorrow if that's what was required to put my family back together. Luckily, my family is back together in the strongest way. My kids have stood by my side. My wife, who is a wonderful woman, I pray for her that she can get everything she needs to get her life in order. That's what's important. The politics, it is what it is. People took advantage of me. Friends of mine abandoned me. Everybody was worried about their own reputation and not about my family and what was going on. High-powered people using me as a way to, you know, booster their image. But at the end of the day, I'm not quitting because somebody tells me I have to quit. I'm not giving up on my life because somebody says, give up on your life. I'm a fighter, and I fight every day to do good for people. And I'm okay if people vote me out of office. I pack my bags, and I move on with the next phase of my life. But I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to resign because people who know nothing about my life tell me I have to do that. In fact, I was heartbroken that many of those people did not come to see if we needed help, because that's what they talk about all the time. They go to these press conferences and talk about help and opioids, and I'm here, and we want to fight to make sure, you know, everybody's life is great. And then the first time that one of their own is dealing with this crisis that's destroying the world, they all kicked me in the mouth. So it gave me a new perspective about what I've always known. You don't have friends in politics. You have people that you work with and you try to get things done. You have a handful of friends in your life. Those friends have stood by me. And I plan on winning this election. I plan on spending 4 more years building this community. And one day I want to sit back when I'm retired and old and smoking a cigar and look at the city and say, you know what, Sean, you made a difference. And that should be on my gravestone. He strives to make a difference, to give more than he's ever taken. And that's all I'll live, Cynthia.
Now, one of the things that, you know, I found pretty interesting, it was a number of months back when Governor Cuomo came out and, you know, kind of demanded the fact that you step down. And sure. After he did that, there were assembly people, there were all elected officials throughout the area, not just in Cohoes, but throughout the area who followed suit. Can you describe what that was like?
Well, it was like exactly what it is, you know, just, you know, I'm going to jump off the cliff. You all better follow. Listen, I've always supported the governor. He doesn't know anything about my life. In fact, everything that was said about me that made him come out and say those things. I've been cleared of by all the organizations that investigated to make sure that those things were not really happening. I got custody of my daughter, which doesn't happen if the things people were saying about me were true. And, you know, he had to make a decision on what he had to do and what he had to say. I thought it was a poor decision. I don't think any man or any woman should be guilty of something before they're found guilty. Everybody should be given the opportunity to fight for what is important to them, their name, their reputation, their kids. But, yeah, there's a lot of people in this business that just do what they're told and they march to their own tune. And guess what? I don't do that. I only march to Sean Morris's tune, and I don't march to the governor's tune or to anybody else's tune. And they don't have no role in my life. You know, it's easy to go out there and cast this stone against me and then go and, you know, move on with your merry life while I'm home, you know, trying to survive and keep my family alive. So I was disappointed in them, but I'm not shocked. I mean, that's the reality. If you can get 5 minutes of points for your own life off the tragedy of other people's lives, that's what politicians do. And that's why I like to think that I'm not a politician. I just happen to work in the political arena. I'm a project boy who lived with my mom and my two brothers, and we scraped and scratched our whole lives to get anything. And I don't owe anything to anybody. I got to where I got on my own. The people in this community once held me at a very high standard. And I think they still do, and I think the election will prove that. But you know what? At the end of the day, what matters is what the people of Cohoes think. I don't have a bad relationship with any of these people. We still have an amicable working relationship because they need me and I need them, and we all have to work together. We all have to get elected by many of the same people. So you do what you have to do. But as far as their comments and their concerns, I wish they would have did a little bit of homework. But I'm well past that. Those days are gone, and my family is well, and it's time for me to continue to do what I do best, which is advocate for the people, rebuild the community, and work towards that all-America city that we're going to be under my watch.
Now, what do you envision in a second term?
Well, I envision many of the same things we're doing now. I mean, we have a host of new businesses that are opening up in 2019. I have, continue to fix our infrastructure in a systematic way, in a plan that doesn't break the bank, but yet achieves what we're trying to achieve each year. I want to continue to have new businesses open. I want to maintain a very low tax on people. Zero is always my goal, successful for 3 straight years. I want to leave after we become the All-America city. It's kind of like the pinnacle of your career when you can say, this is what I set out to do. This is what I achieved. It doesn't get any better than this. And I'll ride off in the sunset. But I want to do it on my terms, not anybody else's terms. I work for the people of Cohoes. If they say to me,
okay,
in this election, we want you to go, I'll go. But I believe they want me to stay, and we're going to finish together until we're that All-America city.
Okay. You used the phrase All-American city.
All-America city, yep.
Right. Has that phrase been used about Cohoes in the past?
Well, Cohoes was an All-America city, and once you get the designation, it doesn't disappear. Unfortunately, what disappears over the course of time is all of the great things that made you that All-America city. So I want to we rebranded our city to be Cohoes Proud. We have a host of things, not just new businesses and all these other things, but, you know, we're working really hard to bring the community together. We're working really hard to bring programs, to bring kids together. The culture of our city is diverse, and I want to, you know, do things with the music hall and the school and different businesses like Peak Music and other organizations that are helping us build this, you know, this beautiful arts and entertainment and cultural district in our city. And kids are being involved. We have a summer program for kids for the arts. Before, you know, there was just baseball and football and soccer. There's kids that don't play those things, and we want to be a well-rounded community. So we have things happening for everybody. And those are the things that they look at when you want to become an All-America city. You know, we're not there yet. It takes a long time. I think we'll be there in the next year or two. But that's my goal. And so every day you have to shoot for your goal. It's what drives me. I'm driven every day. You know, I wake up every morning thinking to myself, what can I do today to make Cohoes and the residents have a better life and be a better city? And at nighttime before I sleep, I ask myself, did I do that today? And if I didn't do it to the satisfaction and the high standards that I have, I get up in the morning and try to rethink. One of the things I've never been afraid of is falling on my face. I'm trying things that are outside of the box. If I fall, I get up, I brush myself off, and we try something different. The city cannot live by living the way we've always lived. You can't do things the same way as we've been doing them forever and expect that the outcome will be different. I didn't do that. I thought out of the box. I did things ways that other people would say, geez, I wouldn't do it like that, or I wouldn't do it like that. Well, you know what? Nobody has seen $75 million of development in our city. Nobody has been able to drive down our streets and say, my God, there is a shovel doing some kind of work every place in this community. In fact, I have a friend of mine who said, I went to Lowe's to buy some shovels, and they said there is none left. They're all being used in Cohoes. And so that's the kind of stuff that excites me and keeps me energized. And that's the kind of stuff that I'll continue to do every day until, you know, we get what we want, and that's to become an All-America city.
One of the things you and I had talked about in the past, we did shows together on municipal internet. You were a big, or maybe still are, a big proponent of municipal internet. But since everything has changed, you know, the dialogue of the campaign and politics have changed quite a bit in Cohoes. Are you still a proponent of municipal internet? And if so, why?
Well, I am, and we just had a meeting a couple weeks ago. As you know, the dialogue and the great announcements and all that stuff is really easy. The hard part is getting it all together. The consultant that we had sadly had a fire. His house burned down, and so he was out of commission for a few months. Some of the legislative things have changed. So we're trying to figure out how to do this in a manner that best serves our city. But yes, that's still on top of our to-do list to make sure that we can provide high speed, gigabyte speed to the residents of our city and the businesses that we know that it would attract at a price far cheaper than they're paying from, you know, the current providers. But it takes time. You just don't rush through things. The problem with government is this. It's too slow to get things done, and then at the end it rushes, and it always screws them up. I like to think that we are slow and steady and that everything we end up accomplishing is done correctly. We thought it through, all of the problems we thought out beforehand, and then when the other problems that you don't think about pop up, you know, they're small and you can address them. You know, having a city that provides its own internet certainly requires the public to buy into it and also want to pay for it. And so, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. But, yes, we're still working on that option, and we'll continue to work on it till hopefully we get it accomplished.
There's no doubt that technology is a major factor in today's society. As you look around and you look at other cities, whether it's small, medium, or large, has any of the other municipal governments tackled the municipal internet problem as you have?
You know, I know that there's other cities that say they've done some stuff and that it doesn't cost no money, but the reality is when you look through it, it really does have a cost. And it's not as simple. I'll give you an example. 2.5 years ago, I announced that we were building an off-site solar farm that was going to save us a couple $100,000 a year on our streetlights. That was the first initiative that I worked towards because I was always looking at ways to reduce cost. so I could reduce taxes, continue to improve services, and do some work in the city that hasn't been done in a long time. Do you know I was fixing fire hydrants that have been broke for 10 years? We're fixing things that were broke 15 years ago. I didn't walk into Utopia, and since I've been here, all these bad things happen. I walked into a city that was old and antiquated, and it's seen its share of problems from years and years of years of not being able to fund and fix many of the things that need to be funded and fixed. But you know what? Because of the way we do business, because we think out of the box, we have done a lot of work. Think about it. We're replacing a water tower that's been leaking for 15 years. We are replacing fire hydrants that had 10 years that have been broken. And you know what? Fire hydrants are vitally important, but they're $4,000 a piece. So if you have 40 broken fire hydrants, that's more than most cities could ever find to fix them. So what we've done is this. We've identified all of the issues that we found to be vital and important, and we set forth a long-term and a short-term plan. Fix the things on the immediate that cause some type of safety issue or hazard to our community, and then slowly and methodically in a systematic way, make a plan. We fixed fire hydrants over the course of the 3 years I was here. They're fixed, and yet we didn't have to raise taxes to do it. We're fixing infrastructure. When a road has got to be paved, we're trying now to fix all of the catch basins and other issues that are broken or need to be fixed on the road that we're paving. We bought a $100,000 camera. So now when we pave a road, we try to look at all of the sewer infrastructure underneath. We try to see if there's any water problems that we can identify. We have a deal with National Grid that they come in and sniff the road for any gas pipes so that when we finally put the topping on, we're not digging it up a week later because all of these things underground have been broken. That's the plan that I put in. We put in a plan day one to make sure that our pump stations were finally maintained. We've bought four pumps, over $140,000 in investment in our pump stations. We have a maintenance plan that makes sure every day they're being checked. We fixed all of the broken alarm systems that were broken for years that didn't alert you when there was a problem. These are the things we're able to do and get fixed now because we've lived within our budget. We've come under budget. We have surplus money. We have new development paying a lot of the freight that taxpayers would have had to pay. And that's how you're successful. It's a long-term plan that fixes problems at a reasonable price that keeps the money in our residents' pockets and not have that tax and spend mentality. I've been in the city my whole life. I was a firefighter in the city. When I came on, there was 15 firefighters a shift every day. When I left, we were down to five. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You just can't afford things by doing things the old way. And the old way was you either taxed people and cut their services, so you charged them more and gave them less. I don't live that way. I live within our means. I even fight with the unions that I was part of. I even fight with the people that I represented when I was their leader. Because the only thing that matters to me is the taxpayer in this city has the best city that they could ever want at the cost where they can live and raise their kids and have the greatest services. That's a hard act to juggle. There's always somebody upset with you. And here's what happens with change, Cynthia. Change doesn't ever happen for the most part because every time you try to change something, there's amazing pushback against the change. And then most people mm-hmm. who are trying to make the change cave in, and then you end up with the status quo. Well, I don't do it that way. I put forth a plan on everything we do, thought out as well as we can think it out, looking at all of the options, the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of these plans. And when we come to the conclusion it's the best plan, we know this, but we continue to push back until we get it done. And the success is in what? 3 years of 0% tax increases, millions of dollars in development, hundreds of thousands of dollars in improvements in our cities, our parks. This year, we're putting $250,000 into Lansing's park. We're building a dog park. We're putting in new windows in the music hall. We're putting all new sidewalks. on Ransom Street, new streetscape, new roads, new blacktop, new flower beds. It's going to be like nothing. Cohoes will not even be recognized by Cohoesians. When Ransom Street is done, they're going to think they're in Saratoga. If you can't be excited about these things, then I don't know what else I can do as mayor of the city. So to the citizens of Cohoes, I'm going to work hard every day. We're going to have a great community to live in, a place we can be proud of. And all I can do is ask them to give me a chance. I should be judged by the job that I've done for them and hopefully not judged by the hardships that my family faced, like millions of families are dealing with right now in this world, because that was a real tough time for me and my family. I think I've handled it the best that I could. And at the end, as I said, our family is making a rebound. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. A lot of sad things took place. But in the end, 95% of what everybody heard was not the truth. It was people taking advantage of me. The system did everything it had to do to examine our family. And at the end of the day, everything that was said were not accurate. And I picked up the pieces and I moved forward. And my family's doing great. And that's top priority for me.
Now that the petition process is over and the primary campaign has started, I would like to have you, and I would like to have Eva together with the other candidates, mayoral candidates, or separately. And I think this is an important election, and unfortunately, politics at some point has devolved into personality conflicts. So as the primary campaign evolves, I'd like to have you back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts on how the campaign is going. Would you do that, Sean?
Tiffany, I always enjoy talking with you. And you know me, I'll debate everybody on the sidewalk if I have to. I mean, I want people to hear what we have to offer, and I want people to know what we've exceeded and what we haven't succeeded with, and where we've been and where we're going, and what's the what's the future of our city. So I'm willing to do that on the sidewalk. I'm willing to do it on your show. I'm willing to do it if you could get those other candidates to want to debate and talk about the future, because I've heard every one of the people on your show basically say the reason I got into this race was because of Morris's family problems. And you don't win by coming after somebody for family problems, because unfortunately, millions of people have the same sadness that went on in my life. They just don't have to display it on the television and the newspaper 24 hours a day. They get a chance to try to deal with these things in the privacy of their home, because the pain of dealing with them is far greater than you'll ever imagine. Now, compound that with being in the newspaper and people lying about you and saying you're this kind of monster, and it was overwhelming. But I did what I always do. I turn the page on a world that I don't need, and I focus on what's important in my life. And so you want me back on the show, I'll be back on the show. You want to do a debate in the middle of the park, I'll do a debate in the middle of the park. I'll do whatever you like, Cynthia. I always enjoy our conversation. I'm always available to you whenever you want to talk.
Thanks, Sean. You've been listening to Sean Morris, who is running for re-election in the city of Cohoes as mayor. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. And Sean, I can bet my bottom dollar there's going to be a lot of posts about our conversation today. So we'll talk again. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday as well. Take care now. Bye-bye.